For the past three seasons of Gone South, we've covered one story per season. Now, Gone South is back for a fourth season. But this time, we're doing things a little differently. In Gone South Season 4, we'll be bringing you new stories every week with no end in sight. Listen to and follow Gone South, an Odyssey original podcast, on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Bob Pompeiani. Sorry, Bob.
Oh, my goodness. Oh, man.
Sorry,
I've known
Bob.
You my whole life, it seems.
No,
We have turned into golf friends.
I know.
And that is what I get.
I know. It was completely unintentional. Bob Pompeiani sitting across from me today. And this is fun. I think we all agree here. There's suddenly like a new energy around the franchise. This is what winning decisively, 2 weeks in a row, no less. And I don't care who they're playing. They've played a lot of crappy teams over the last 3 years, too. And if they win, they're winning 13-12. There's something to be said for that. But there's also some new guys around. You know what I mean? There's namely Russell Wilson last night. Beanie Bishop making game-turning plays. Deshaun Elliott lighting people up. There's been the arrival the past few years of some new energy with young players. This offensive line, you tweeted out Mason McCormick with the windmill celebration.
That's pretty cool.
That was tremendous.
That says a lot.
What play was that after, or what was happening?
That was after a first down run. So
God, that was great. So there's also, and it manifested in two scenes, I thought, last night. One, which was great, was all the players, or a bunch of them, jumping around Danny Smith when they got the block kick that counted. The first one should have. It was a joke call on Minka. That should have counted. You know it should have counted when you get one of these refereeing consultants who go on there and, you know, twist themselves into a pretzel trying to back the guys on the field. And Terry McCauley was like, nah, that was a bad call. You know what I mean? Horrible call on Minka, right, Bob?
It really was. I mean, I understand there's a rule when you see his, you're not allowed to use it as leverage. He didn't. He touched them. He has no choice to leap over someone. You got to make a little bit of contact, but it did not do what they claimed it did. So that was a bad call. And boy, Danny Smith, I thought he was going to chew the gum. I thought there was going to have to be, you know, some sort of Heimlich maneuver going on with gum stuck in the trachea.
Him and Tomlin were going crazy. And then to see them get one that counted and to see him jumping around and the players, including Highsmith, jumped in. They love that guy. And that was a great scene. And the other was the, oh my God, we have a great name for this. The Najee leap into the crowd. It could just be the Najee leap, by the way, but he already has
it?
That.
Okay.
So you tell us what the voting is like, Bob. We're looking for the Steelers to continue to do this celebrating in the crowd. And we, one person says, why do we need a name for it? Because we're having fun. That's why.
Yeah.
I mean, what do you have out there, Bob? What's your Twitter poll say?
So here we go. In 17 minutes, almost 600 votes, and Pittsburgh Plunge has the lead at 41%.
Yeah.
Yunzer Leap is second, followed closely by Jagoff Jump.
What Berg does Bounce, Jagoff Jump have?
25%. So
that's not
Berg
bad.
Bounce is not being well thought of.
So it's still a ball game here.
It's still a ball game.
Here's some others that have come in. This one's unbelievable. The Pompeiani Pounce.
No.
Do you like that, Bob?
No. No.
The Acrisure Ascension, the Terrible Tumble. You guys stop me if you like one. It might be a while before you stop.
The Terrible Tumble isn't bad.
That's not bad.
It sucks. How about the the Terrible Dive, the Heinz Hop, the Jagoff Jump? We already did that. The Yinzer Mount, the Stiller Splash, the Clint Hurdle. You like that, Bob? The Clint Hurdle. Anybody?
The Clint Hurdle.
Clint Hurdle tweeted last night. Yeah. Did you see that?
He's very much engaged on X here, and he does comment a lot of things.
He said he taught Danny Smith everything he knows about
gum chewing. Yeah.
Tremendous. The curtain call with a little play on the steel curtain.
I like that.
Do you like that, Limits? The curtain call?
The curtain call?
Yeah.
That is a curtain call of sorts. That's not bad. Is it? Bob, usually I order a small coffee. Today, look at the size of this thing. It's bigger than Malzi's cranium. I didn't even know they sold them this big. This is like a keg. I might as well have ordered a keg, and they might as well have given me a tap at the counter. What? Look, do you see what I'm drinking here?
Yeah, I know.
It's unbelievable.
You like iced coffee. See, I'm just never...
Sweet foam. They're sweet. It's like whipped cream on the top of the thing. And...
You don't need that.
I know.
You know, you're somebody who comes in and you wipe down everything. You're always aware of your surroundings, and yet you're going to put whipped cream on an iced coffee that is too big for you to consume. That sounds totally against what you stand for.
The Rooney Leap? How about that? It's not good, I know.
How about...
The North Shore Sore? No, it's got to be...
The
people,
North Shore Sore.
No,
that's just there's a tongue twister as I try to talk.
You can't
talk.
Have a tongue twister. The whole idea is to be catchy here.
How about the Harris High Jump?
Not bad. Yeah, not good.
But then again, he's,
just not good. That's all. The Berg Bop, the Pitfall. I like that.
I like the Pitfall.
Yeah.
I do like that.
The Log Jam. That doesn't even make sense. It's clearly so far the Pittsburgh Plunge. The Pittsburgh Plunge is winning this thing because it's a great name for it.
And there's such a thing as the Pittsburgh Plunge
Pittsburgh. I'll tell you this thing. The Jagoff Jump is closing in on the Yinzer Leap, Bob. It's only 5 percentage points from second place and a silver medal here. Let's go to the lines. Noon hour. We're going to take a trip around the league, but we're going to start the noon hour with Bob regaling us with stories because the 74 Steelers regaled him with stories at a dinner the other night. Bob, you want to just give us a quick tease as to some of the stuff you're going to tell us at noon?
Well, it was fun because those guys came back and it was the first of the six Super Bowls, and the way it unfolded was rather interesting, very similar in a way to what's happening now. But they also talked about, some of the highs and lows. Terry Bradshaw was on part of the video. And it was interesting to hear him talk about, he thought his career was over. And Chuck Knoll said, no, he was not the starter that year. It was Joe Gillum because there was a strike and he didn't show. Gillum did well, so he rode that, much like Justin Fields rode into this season as the starter. And then 4-1-1, all of a sudden there's a quarterback switch and he puts Bradshaw back in.
Well, let's talk about that at noon. Because I know you talked to a lot of the guys, and my understanding from a few different people is it was just great stuff. It really was. In the meantime, everything's on the table. The new energy around here, are we going overboard? Are the Steelers a legit contender in the AFC? We'll talk about that more in a minute. And the quarterback change. What it did in its many manifestations to change the Steelers' offense. One thing is that when you have a mature passing game in the NFL, everybody becomes a target. I forgot Van Jefferson even played here. I mean, when you have that kind of passing game, and again, it begins at the line of scrimmage with a quarterback who is able to recognize things before the snap, who's able to change into the play he wants before the snap. All of that, you have that now. 412-928-9370. Limits?
Let's go to Seth in East Liberty.
Good morning, Seth.
Good morning. Thanks for taking my call. First, I want to say that I was the author of the Jagoff Jump.
You were the guy? Okay, said, good. Austin has been looking at the text line, so that's a good one. I like it. I think it's interesting.
Yeah, I love it. I support the curtain call, though. I really love that, too. What I really want to say, though, is that I am a Tomlin hater, for sure, but he got this one right. I did not think that it was the time to bring in Russell Wilson, but he looked spry. Obviously not making the runs that Justin Fields did, but he was able to get out of the pocket and move well, and he commanded the offense, just like you guys are saying. I am energized, I'm happy, and I'm pumped for the rest of the season.
So let's just take that for what it is right now, Scott. And you bring up Tomlin, and I wanted to bring that up too, as part of the new energy, Bob. I said this last week after the game, that I love Mike Tomlin. Like, he's the perfect representative for the city as a coach. He's like one of the fans at times. He feeds into that energy the way that he does on the road with the fans, the way he was last night. Did you see him blow the kiss into the camera? He's great. He is. But the problem is he hasn't won a playoff game in 7 years. So yeah, you get on him. I get on him. That's way too long. Way too long. Like, disturbingly long. But wouldn't it be great if he got back to winning some playoff games and we were all one big happy family, Bob? Because I want to just love the guy. You know what I mean? His energy is phenomenal.
And I can tell you that he is legit when he talks about the fan base and how it comes out. And he believes it really has an impact on how they play. So, again, Monday night's going to be one of those atmospheres as well. His record on primetime night games as a head coach of this team is as good as anyone in football history.
And unsolicited, after the Raiders game last week, the first thing he mentions post-game is the crowd. And then you see the video backing it up of him coming off the field. And then last night as well.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet, and the not-so-secret secret, with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
I'm Jed Lipinski. In Gone South Season 4, we'll be bringing you new stories every week with no end in sight. Listen to and follow Gone South, an Odyssey original podcast, on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
But you gotta win big games. And the problem is that the Steelers don't win big games anymore. But for this morning, that suddenly seems possible again. And in the name of all coming together for a day, Bob, let's be happy, shall we? You seem very happy today.
Well, like I said, I think most of the time I am happy. You should be happy. You know, you only have so many chances at this game of life. I don't want to sound like I'm a preaching father, but that's what I do with grandkids now too. You know, just try to get in their head how important it is to just enjoy every day. So when
I'm
going to
be a grandfather,
whatever,
Bob, in mid-November or thereabouts.
You are?
Grandpa Joe, yeah.
Grandpa Joe, congratulations.
It's going to be unbelievable.
Really?
Yeah.
Did you know this, Bob?
No.
Yeah. My stepson, Michael, and his wife, Abby, expecting a little baby girl.
Why didn't you say this before, did you? I didn't know this.
I thought I did.
No,
thank you.
I don't remember you saying anything.
Should I grow a long gray beard and really, you know, sort of buy into the role?
But you should, you know, you should worry about diaper changing. Because I found in the gap that I had between my daughters, and I believe me, I didn't do it a lot. My wife took care of most of that.
Yeah.
But I did it sometimes. And the gap between that and when you become a grandfather and when you are babysitting.
I'm an expert at it, Bob.
Oh, no.
I thought I'd be horrible
Not
at
when
it.
You get projectile stuff going on, when you
used
prematurely take the diaper off before it's ready to be taken off.
People used to say when I had my daughter on my shoulder, like she'd puke on my shoulder. I loved it. I loved everything about it. Go ahead, puke more on my shoulder. This is great. But the diaper genie, Bob, you throw the used diapers in the diaper genie. Did you ever have to take out the bag after like 3 weeks of that?
Yeah.
Oh my God.
Yeah. That's not a pleasant sight.
They should use that to like smoke out prisoners and things like that. Or criminals.
The diaper genie's going to make you come out. We can't negotiate with you, but this diaper genie's going to make you leave.
This person doesn't want to confess. Bring in the diaper genie back. They tell you whatever you want to know in 5 seconds limits. You'll be there someday soon. I can feel it.
Oh, boy.
Next.
Let's go to Dave in Ford City.
What's up, Dave?
Hey, guys, I think you need to take a break and like have a cigarette after this love fest you're having, man.
What do you got? I mean, what do you got? Go ahead. No, you talk.
It was a good night at the office.
Okay, hey, the thing about Russell Wilson, you know, he wasn't so accurate. He threw up passes like Terry Bradshaw to Lynn Swan and Stallworth straight up in the air and wait for them to jump up with all their skills and bring it down.
What's wrong with that?
Nothing, but it's not the greatest passing in the world, you know? Now, the second thing is that wait till we play a really crummy team and see if we can be prepared for it. That's what I'm waiting for. Someone is a bunch of bums, and we'll lose to them.
Like last week's game against the Raiders?
Well, wait a second. There's other bums out there we're going to lose to. We got a history of losing the bums. You know that.
See, all right. You're very entitled to your opinion, but you're throwing a wet blanket on this all. Let me ask you this question.
I know.
Do you think they upgraded with Russell Wilson?
Do I think that Russell Wilson had an okay game? He got lucky throwing the ball up in the air like he did. He got lucky. Let's put it that way. Those good thing we had Pickens.
Well, let me ask you.
That's kind of the point is that you have Pickens. So go down the field to him with catchable balls. That's the idea. But there was also, you got to give Russ credit for the beautiful end zone pass that had perfect touch on it. And again, I think the part you're missing is the part before the snap, identifying where you're going to go. The pass to Freiermuth in stride. The pass.
Absolutely. You're absolutely right about that. You're right.
All
his
of that.
His experience and his wisdom has brought him to the point where he can walk up very much like Rodgers does and assess the situation. You're absolutely right about that.
And what did you want to say to Bob?
Bob, nothing.
Well, thank you. I appreciate that.
You got to clip that. You have to clip that. Listen, skepticism is well earned here. I'll admit that. I just feel like being happy for a day, Bob. And I do honestly feel like suddenly, at least it seems, all things are possible. Because it seems like if you go into a game against the Josh Allens and Joe Burrows and Patrick Mahomes and C.J. Strouds of the world, you have a chance to put up 30 points. You know what I mean? Yeah. I know they did last week. I know they did last week, but we all could see a difference in the pass game. Anybody who knows football could see that.
And again, the guy's been there, done that. He knows how to operate a professional offense, one that was good at throwing the ball down the field when he was in Seattle. And in many ways, I know that we're 7 games into this now, but you could look at this as potentially the beginning of what this Steelers season will be like.
You know what I can feel in my bones right now, Bob? I think Pony's going to open with Justin Fields would have won this game by just as many. I can feel that.
I don't think so.
I do.
I don't. I think he's completely changed his opinion.
Is that based on tweets? Or?
Yeah, based on tweets. I think, yeah. In fact, you should look. We should look. Because he was really critical of this move, and I would imagine he'd have to change. You're going to look? Because my thing is frozen here.
Now, last week we had... who was on with us last week who said that Grandpa Joe and Willy Wonka was really just a bad guy?
Who were you talking about when you were talking about what Roundtree said on the air and the caller?
No, who was my guest?
Was it Garrett Padel or was it
Rich Cimini? Somebody in the studio last week with me who was saying that Grandpa
Bat
Joe.
Go?
Yes. No, it was somebody else who said that this
Hokey?
Was. Nope. That this was a bad guy. That Grandpa Joe didn't work. He just stayed in bed all the time. And then when there was a chance to make money, he jumped out of bed. Do you agree with that, Bob? That the original Grandpa Joe and Willy Wonka was actually a bad guy?
I haven't thought about it, to be honest. So I don't have an answer for you, Joe. You cease to amaze me with these recollections back in time
this?
Out of the blue.
Do you remember who it was?
I can't remember who it was, no.
Oh, God, I can't remember
It was not
either.
Somebody in studio, though. I know that.
I know. It was somebody on the phone. I can't remember. Next caller.
Let's go to Randy in North Carolina.
Would you agree that that movie never should have been remade, Bob?
I'm not a big fan of remakes.
No. Gene Wilder as Willy Wonka? Yeah. Why would you want to do that?
I like originals. I do not. Yeah.
How are you, sir?
Doing good. I want to compliment you on talking about the movies, and sequels generally don't do real well. But Yeah, I was one of the few, and your boy from Ford City seemed a little clueless, so I just wanted to hope he's still listening. You know, Russell Wilson, a lot of people, when he came in, a lot of my friends were hammering that he shouldn't be here too old. And the thing is, I heard at the beginning of the season, and I look at NFL statistics, at Denver, he had the worst starting 11 as far as consistency and numbers than any quarterback in the NFL. That makes your job hard. And he is older, but he is more mature, and he is a more pure passer. And I've been saying this for weeks, just give him a chance. And when Tomlin came out and said, good is not great, he was on point.
Right.
Now, he was on point. Now, early in the game, I'm thinking, okay, did I mess this up? Is he too rusty? I expected some rust. He looked like someone at Kennywood trying to hit something with baseballs from 50 years ago when they won a state championship, but he just wasn't doing anything. But I did have one question, though, for you guys. You know, we talked about the number two wide receiver situation. Do you see Roman Wilson coming in at all and having any impact on this offense? I didn't see him last night at all. I thought he was on the roster last night, but I didn't see his number called. And outside of that, again, I was one of the ones that pushed this, and Wilson does have a touch, and he does have the maturity to get up and read the defenses and audible out, and his play action is smooth as the other side of the pillow. So,
man, is it ever. That's a huge thing, too. For them,
play
especially
action.
When they're running the ball like
they did it a lot last night under center. He was under center over 40% of the time, which is something we haven't seen a lot from, Steeler quarterbacks over the years. And when you do that, you can really sell the job of play action. And in those times he was called upon to do it, I think I saw number 8 for 9 for like 120 yards. So
Bob, very quickly here, as we launch into this topic for the next segment, we now have 7 games. So we're getting close to the halfway point. We're getting close to the bye week. How would you judge the Steelers in the AFC? Realizing there was a profound change last night, but we can also judge other parts of the team from what we've seen. To me, the Chiefs always are number one. I think the Ravens are the second best team right now in the AFC. And then I think it's Steelers, Bills, Texans, take your pick, with the Bengals, I think, rising because of Joe Burrow mostly. So I think that the Steelers can make an argument for the third best team in the AFC and one with real possibilities. They're plus 60. They're plus 60.
Yeah, they've scored more points than a lot of teams in the AFC.
Where would you put them?
I think you know how I feel because I picked the Texans to be a Super Bowl representative this year. I really like their team, and I think Joe Mixon takes them to another level. I would put them, I'm not sure who's, I think Kansas City, got to defer to them, of course. Baltimore and Houston are two teams that I have ahead of them, and I've liked both of those teams. But the Steelers took a jump. We talk about the Berg bounce. Well, they've bounced in the Power 5, if you're going to look at it, based on one performance. But I will caution you, it's one performance. We'll see how it goes up. But they've jumped over a lot of teams. I would not necessarily put Buffalo I wouldn't put them ahead of Buffalo either. I think Amari Cooper is going to make Buffalo something.
Me
given
too.
The quarterback and all his options, two great tight ends, the running game, all these receivers now, including Keon Coleman, they have a lot of weapons there, and I think that'll help them well.
Josh Allen, all he's doing this season is completing, his passer rating's 108, 15 touchdowns, 0 interceptions.
He's not been picked off yet, right?
0.
In the fast-paced world of attacking, speed is everything. And that's where the Furon 7 Plus shines. Engineered for accuracy and precision at a rapid pace, it's your secret weapon on the pitch. Experience overall comfort and precise striking, even in the game's fastest moments. The nylon outsole with its V-shaped stud configuration is designed for firm ground, giving you the grip you need to outmaneuver your opponents. Step up your attacking game and learn more and purchase the Furon at NewBalance.com.
For the past 3 seasons of Gone South, we've covered one story per season. Now, Gone South is back for a 4th season. But this time, we're doing things a little differently. In Gone South Season 4, we'll be bringing you new stories every week with no end in sight. Listen to and follow Gone South, an Odyssey original podcast, on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.